Welcome to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me in the Extra Hour is Pat Hamilton.
Hi there.
And John Ramos.
Hello, hello.
We were just speaking about the season of contractions. A birthing taking place in the earth. Two babies. One's called joy and one's called tribulation, trouble. The best of times and the worst of times about to break forth on the face of the earth, definitely in the nation. And it's going to be the best of times for those who are lovers of God and the worst of times for those who are lovers of the world. But you can choose today to be on the right side of history. We are going to share with you more in this extra hour talking to you about the best of times with a word, prophetic word from Brother John Kilpatrick that just came out in 2013. I believe it's just going to encourage those that are lovers of God and encourage those who presently are lovers of the world to say, you know what? I'm going to decide to make Jesus the Lord of my life. I want to be on that side, the side, God's side. Also, we're going to be talking about the sudden resignation of Pope Benedict, the only one that's happened in 600 years. And what does that mean in the prophetic happenings of the earth? And what is this mystery Babylon? And where is this city of seven hills that's supposed to be destroyed? And we're going to share with you a prophecy over the whole situation. Yes, you're listening to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello.
My goodness, man, are you so stirred? I just feel the presence of God just stirred up inside of me. Like, oh, well, this is it, you know, this is it. We've been preparing and building and digging and getting ready for, you know, what's about to happen on the face of the earth. The greatest probably move of God that the world has ever seen, the greatest harvest of souls. And let me tell you something, if you've been wondering, or you've been, you know that you were called, you know that there's a call on your life, but maybe you're held captive by the adversary. Maybe you're held captive by religion. Maybe whatever it is. Let me tell you something. The same Jesus that saved you originally, remember at the beginning of your walk with God and your first love, and you just said, here I am, you had nothing to offer. Mm-hmm. Go back to your first love right now and just say, you know what, God, I have nothing to offer you. I think about Catherine Kuhlman, when she made some decisions, just took her on a rocky road and it ended up in a real bad place. And here she was thinking it was all over. She lost everything, including her reputation at that point. And she walked down the end of a dead street and she said, you know what? She says, I have nothing, talking to God. She says, I have nothing to offer you but my love. Mm. She returned to her first love. And when she did that, her just God says, cool. And just boom, he didn't say cool, but you know, our culture, that means everything's great. And he restored her and took her and used her. And today, Benny Hinn and others from that whole lineage, it comes from her willingness to walk down that street one more time and say, you know what? Samson, you think about Samson, he was willing to say one more time, God. And you just need to say, you know what? Okay, all this stuff happened in my life. I'm in a relationship. I shouldn't have been in a relationship. I'm in this business I shouldn't have been in. I'm in this ministry I shouldn't have been in. Whatever it is, I don't know. But it's the one thing you say, but if I do follow God, it's going to cost me this. Well, just pay that price now. Mm-hmm. Pay it now and get it over with and say, God, I want to be a part of what you're doing. I want to be loyal to you. I want to be a slave of the gospel, like Paul describes, so I can be faithful to you in this day. We're just talking about what, you know, God is saying and some of the things that sharing some words about in the first hour about a spiritual avalanche, this huge mindset. And it's just so refreshing because, you know, when you're hearing from the Lord and the things that we've heard and I've heard, is after a while, you're just thinking like, I'd like to hear about something good. You know, I mean, right. is there something, you know, we prayed for a long time. You know, we prayed for a long time. And part of one of the prayers that we were praying, you know, scripturally is like, Lord, let us know your heart, your feelings, what you're thinking. And it came to a point, it's like, you know, I don't think I want to know this anymore because it just felt so heavy and so broken. And so I don't think I have the grace, I don't have the ability in my humanness to be able to even ta- gap and barely to your emotions. Mm-hmm. But I can't. And then we added to the prayer that you would give us grace to be able to handle this. And he did.
Yeah.
And because we don't want to, you lose your relationship with somebody when you're not willing to feel their feelings, you know, what they're thinking and feeling and empathize with them. And so you want, don't lose your relationship and turn it over to religion. But in the context of that, God's heart's broken over all this. Mm-hmm. And then he began to tell us that, but if you're broken over this, it's nothing wrong with you. It's a good thing. As a matter of fact, he talks about it in Ezekiel, and he literally put a sign in the sky for us after a time of 7 days of prayer and fasting. Mm-hmm. That he says, go down there, those that are broken over the situation, he's telling Ezekiel this, and put a mark on them. Put a mark on them so when this storm comes, that it won't affect them. Did he not do that? I mean, yes, he did sure that. Did. It's like, oh my goodness, thank you, Lord. And literally put
a sky.
It was in the sign in the heavens about mm-hmm. it. And so if you're gods, and not if you say you're gods, understand that. Not if somebody tells you that you're gods, God's apostrophe S, you know, you're possessive, that you are God's son or daughter, is that you know you're gods. You know what I'm saying? You're not like, I guess my pastor told me I'm saved. You know, yeah. I don't know. This is prophet that told me I have a call on my life. And like, no, dude, you know Jesus. You know what I'm saying? You made him the Lord of your life. You abide, you hang out with him, not because you have to, because you desperately want to. You want to be able to spend time with him and know what he's thinking and all. And so you want to make that decision. If you haven't yet, we have a way to be able to help you do that at meetmyfather.org. Meetmyfather.org. We shared a couple of our stories to give you courage to know, like, wow, you know, Pat can be saved and I can be saved, right?
That's right.
You know, or I can be saved. I mean, that's important because you have to understand we were all trying to live up to John's standard. Live up to Chris. John's standard.
That's right. So righteous. That?
Live up to John's standard. The am I the only one getting that joke? Up to.
I got it.
It wasn't funny.
John's not
funny.
Oh, it wasn't funny.
It wasn't funny.
You just couldn't hear it.
Yeah, that's the criteria for jokes. That had to be funny.
He couldn't hear it up here. It was just by the time it got down there. Listen. That seriously though, because that's what the enemy tells you. The enemy tells you that everybody's better than you. Everybody has this righteous, holy walk that you'll never be able to get there. And the truth is, they are you. Mm-hmm. We're all the same. We are sinners saved by grace, and God saves us. That's what the cross is about. That's what Jesus is about. That's what's so high, why he's so awesome. Mm-hmm. And that's why the enemy tries to take down everything that had to do with Jesus, because that is the epicenter of our relationship with God. That's our access to God. And so go to meetmyfather.org and check out some of our stories, and maybe it'll just walk you right through how you can have a relationship with him today. And you need to get connected to a local body of believers who is hearing from God and has a relationship with God, and they abide with God. And we're just talking about what Jesus said. You know, we're begin to read the Gospels again. Just be willing to let go of everything and read the Gospels. Stay in the red letters, meaning the words of Jesus, and just read what he says and meditate on that. You know, we just begin to just meditate on the power of the gospel versus just mere talk. And it was just a powerful, powerful thing. Understand that the kingdom of God is not about mere talk. It's about power. Mm. And you should be seeing answered prayer in your life. You should be seeing people healed in your life. Is everybody healed? No, everybody's not healed, but you should see healings taking place. You should see deliverance is taking place. You should see provision, you know, miracle provision. And that you should, that's who we are as believers. God answers our prayers. Mm-hmm. And he says, ask anything in my name. And then we begin to meditate on, you know, what was God's first words to mankind on the mountain of, we call it Beatitudes, right, or the Sermon on the Mount. But he sat down and began to talk. And it's like, those are very important things. His desire is to bless us. Mm-hmm. And then he gives us a strategy on how to receive that blessing, which is called, oh my goodness, everything I've been avoiding is the very thing that will bring that blessing in my life. And we begin to embrace life and the storms and the things that happen, because that's going to bring these things in my life, even an identity of being called a son of God. And so here we are right now. I want to encourage you. There's just so much we have to share with you. We're going to make a lot of that available on VFN TV coming up in the near season. But I want to talk to you about the best of times. It's the best of times. Notice that no matter what's going on, and we're seeing this, this is not just some saying this, that you know, I'm sort of like a Misty Edwards, you know, what's the point? What's the point? You know, I don't want to cheer for a football team that will never play. I don't want to preach a gospel that'll never happen, you know, and I don't want to speak to a people who will never listen. And it's like, where is this whole, and then the thing is that We are seeing this. We're seeing in the midst of great job loss and economy shaking to the ground, people who are loyal to Jesus. This is what loyal to Jesus means. Loyal to Jesus. When you read his words, you do what he says. And one thing that we're seeing, when people take Jesus literally, their blessings become literal. Their provision becomes literal. But when people just take him, his words is like, yeah, you know, their life is like, oh, you know, he's like, it doesn't happen. But when people say, here I am, God, send me. The Great Commission is not the great suggestion. I am ready to go. God takes them from occupations that they worked for years and houses that they settled that would be thought forever, and literally sells that house in less than 7 days, transfers them to other states that he's sending them to a people group that he loves. And then within days, he's providing them occupations and jobs when everybody else, 23 million or whatever it is, they don't have jobs. We're finding God's people getting jobs. And not only that, after 7 days of prayer and fasting, giving them a house, a new house and a new place with viewpoints that are, views that are just awesome. Over and over again. Listen, this God that we serve is good. But the thing is, he's not a theory. He's a fact.
That's right.
He's not a premonition. He is God. And above him, there's no another. So loyalty, we're talking loyalty to him. It's the same way that if you're married, you expect your spouse to be loyal to you. I mean, that's just like a no-brainer, right? Well, hello. We are the bride of Christ, and Jesus expects us to be loyal to him, more loyal to him than anybody else on the face of this earth. And that is somebody who truly is loyal to Jesus. So I want you to hear, this is Brother John Kilpatrick giving a word. He shared it in January the 6th at Church of His Presence. And in it, he talks about the blessing in 2013, and that blessing is the blessing for those who are his. Listen up.
This year, many of you are going to wake up one day and realize you've outgrown where you are. You'll feel like a bird all of a sudden locked up in a cage, and you didn't feel that way yesterday. You'll feel desperate to get out and fly to the place that God's prepared for you, and the Lord will open the door. You'll suddenly realize that you've been prepared for more income, more responsibility, a different location, and a change of address. Your clothes must be changed. Your name tag and your desk nameplate also must be changed. You're ready? It's time. Even the devil can't stop it, because it's time. You used to say, I can't, but now all of a sudden you're saying, I'm raring to go. I'm ready. It looked as though things were over for you, and you were sheared like Samson was sheared. You felt that your anointing was gone, but now you woke up and you feel something tickling the back of your neck. It's a fresh growth of hair. Your anointing has returned. You thought that the Holy Spirit had bypassed you. But get ready, your most rewarding accomplishments are just around the corner, just as Samson was awaiting him. Go ahead now and start rolling up your mat, because not an angel is being sent to stir the pool, but Jesus himself is passing by. And you will receive your healing. Roll that mat up and get ready to rise up and walk. You've got better things to do than lie helplessly by a pool the rest of your life. You got things to do, places to go, things to say. Your healing will be both in mind and in body. You will need to be healed in your mind so that you can begin to see yourself healed in your body. Because your mind has already accepted that this is the way it's always going to be. But it's not. Jesus is passing by. The Lord said this. This year, you'll forget what it feels like to cry. Your laughter will be so deep and so long that it will be like a release valve on the inside of you, that you will not believe that just that morning you were crying and lonely and in despair. But within 12 hours, He turned your mourning into dancing. Elijah is passing by. He's going to throw his mantle around you while you're plowing with 12 yoke of oxen. You're going to burn your plows. You're going to leave your secular work. You're going to slay the oxen. You're going to pack up, and you will finally begin your odyssey in the ministry that God promised you years ago. There's a mighty rumbling. It's the hoofs of God's angels coming to bring freedom to the captive. Their swords are drawn and their banners are flying. Your enemies that have tormented you are getting nervous. They are losing their influence over you now, and confusion has already set in. They are scattering, and already they're becoming like loose soil where at once they held you like concrete. Your enemies will leave bounty and spoils that you will gather from the battle, and not one shot will be fired. This is a battle the Lord Himself says He will fight. Your enemy will scatter at the sound of the Lord of hosts. This will be a sudden thing. Again, I say, this will be a sudden thing. The investment that you've made in someone very close to you, the Lord says, will not be in vain. Those years of investment, prayers and intercession, the Lord is already at work untangling Satan's web that the devil has meticulously woven over your son. The blindfold over his eyes is going to come off. And he will begin to see clearly what he couldn't see previously. He'll see the trap that was laid for his very soul. And when he's free, it's going to set you free. So the Lord said, go ahead and now rejoice. It's as good as done. You will sign your name this year to papers that will unlock your future. A simple signature on these documents will be the key that will unlock many locks. It will be like a chain reaction. This document will now lead to future contracts. It's your childhood dream. Somebody in the house, give the Lord praise.
Totally awesome. It's johnkilpatrick.org, John Kilpatrick Ministries.
Wow.
Brother John Kilpatrick. That is the best of times. Mm. Mm. The best of times. I know we just talked about in the first hour, if you missed it, listen, this is in conjunction with understanding two babies are being born. The contractions are happening. Why would you not want to be this part of the blessing?
Mm-hmm.
Understand that when great turmoil hits the earth, a great harvest of men and women come to God and get forgiven and get cleansed and get welcomed into the kingdom of God. It's the greatest harvest time that the church ever sees. And you want to be a part of that. You don't want this wave to pass you by. And I can just feel, can you just feel that? I mean, we've literally seen these words already. They're just affirming in regards to much has come to pass.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just amazing how God's already, you know, begin to do this. And there's so much more ahead.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
You know, 2013, and I just like the idea, the hearing, of even the word of saying that there will be no more tears. You know what I'm mm-hmm. saying? Because we've all gone through so many broken times, and maybe you've gone through a relationship situation. Maybe your children, the enemy's tried to destroy your children. Maybe, you know, your business, maybe your finances, maybe your brother in the Lord or your sister in the Lord that you've been betrayed. And all these things, and it's like, is there all weeping? Will it just go and go? And he says, weeping may endure for the night.
That's right.
But joy will come in the morning. And that release of joy is like, oh my goodness. I mean, it's just exciting to know that our Father and our Lord Savior has in mind for those who are His an awesome encounter. When we get back, we're going to talk to you about we are going to talk about this word about the Pope and understand the times we're in, but talk to you about the thickness of the glory of God when He pours Himself out, how awesome it is and how refreshing it is and how encouraging. You're just designed for His presence. You're designed for Him. It's just where you belong in the presence of God. We'll talk more about that in just a moment right after this break.
Well, you know, you think about, you know, when you get saved, the first thing you want to do is what? You want to know more about Jesus, right?
That's right.
And so you start reading the Bible, you're excited about reading the Bible, and then you think you know, when you want to learn how to read and write and add, you want to go to school, right?
Sure.
You know, and look, let me tell you about my experience. So I got excited, man. I'm just in love with Jesus. I read the Bible all the way through. It may have been the first book I ever read all the way through. And I'm just pumped. I'm floating, man. You know, I'm the police, you know, and I'm just excited and just totally, you know. And so then I apply for Bible school. I'm just so committed, you know. I'm like, I filled out this application to be able to go to Bible school, you know, me and Jesus. Yeah. And so I go through all the processes of approval, and I walk through the whole traditional cycle, you know, and I make it through references and all this kind of stuff. And I finally go to the pastor's office, you know. I get back there and I sit down. I just share my juvenile in the Lord heart with him about, you know, what I felt like to do. And he was just very encouraging, you know, and he signed my application to go somewhere else to get an education, you know. You'd think I could have got one there with 1,200 people. Anyway, so then I go send my application off. So I'm waiting patiently for my application to come from the Bible school that the whole world is supposed to be talking about. And I get a reply back from them. They tell me, listen, John, are you hearing me? Listen to this.
I'm hearing.
They said I wasn't saved long enough to go to school. I got rejected, man. They wouldn't even let me go to school, man.
Oh, my goodness.
What do you do with that? I'm like, oh, my goodness, you know? And so I'm dealing with this personal rejection that I can't learn about Jesus. I'm not saved enough to know him yet. There's nobody discipling me. I got a reference to go to this place. I guess the school is just not here today, by the way. It didn't last that long. It kind of closed up.
Wow.
Which is kind of good. I don't have it hanging on my wall. But, you know, that's what VFNU is about. You know, Vine Fellowship Network University is that, you know, I can feel your pain. If you're listening right now and you love Jesus, you know, you just want to know more about him. And I want to encourage you to find out more on VFNU.org today. That's not how Jesus is. Remember, the Pharisees were amazed that simple fishermen were being used. They had a deep education, and they knew you had to have the Bible memorized to be a Pharisee, you know. And by the age of 40, Paul had it memorized. But they were using simple fishermen. God was using simple fishermen. And they just couldn't get it. But just because they couldn't get it didn't mean they didn't have it. That's right. Jesus, you know what I'm saying, amongst them, and God was moving. So I want to encourage you that God loves you. God's got a plan for your life. If you're feeling called in to know more about Jesus, you know, possibly even called to even, you know, go into the harvest field, you know, be a minister, to be a shepherd, a pastor, maybe even a church plant. You can find out more at vfnu.org. We had our Bojangles moment right there. The chicken was good. The chicken was good. It's got a little bit of spice to it, not enough for Pat, but it's got good flavor to it, and it was so juicy.
Well, I've got a good chicken place. Next time you come visit, oh, I've got the place.
Your food is so good up there. Oh, my goodness. I wish there was a way that you could just what's it like? Which one?
There's this place. I don't even know the name. It's a Chinese restaurant, and they stay so full. Actually, Eddie turned me on to this place. But you got to wait like 25 minutes every time you go to order your food. And it is so. I mean, I'm sure it's not healthy for you. You know what I'm saying, but it is so.
Delicious. What's the place that you and I went to where they brought over like a whole cow? They kept on bringing nonstop meat. And you kept on give them more. What was that?
Oh, that was in the Ironbound. We went to that's Ironbound in New York. What was that?
No, it was Jersey. It was Jersey.
Yeah, it's okay. Newark.
Oh, Newark. Oh, no, okay. Yeah,
Ironbound in Newark. It was a Portuguese restaurant. What do they call that? Slip in my mind.
There's the P. It's called
Endless Meats. What do they call that?
Gluttony. Oh, they anyway, just kept on bringing. Happens, go ahead. Tell
them. Greg gets off the plane. So the first thing says, let's take you out to eat. So we take him down to the Ironbound in Newark, Portuguese restaurant. And this area is awesome because they all have the same type of restaurants. You go in there, you order your food. And Pat, get this. It's unlimited meat.
Unlimited meat.
So they'll come around and they'll bring you these sausages, the chicken, and they bring you the filet mignon. It's keep. And you know what? I mean, I saw a big smile on Greg's face. I even have a picture. I mean, I was like, Greg, a big smile on his face.
Oh, show that picture.
Oh, my goodness. Was it before or after?
Well, he kept on going, moi, 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 or something. I don't know.
Oh, I kept bringing him over, but that was good food.
It was like the whole shish kebab. It was like a 4-foot shish kebab.
Oh, my god!
You know, and they'd come over, and one of them was like a beef one, and one was a chicken one. One was
like sausage.
Sausage. Which was, you know, I was like, don't waste your time on that.
Yeah, right.
Get me that. Get me. You had to work. They made you earn the filet mignon.
Yeah. Like, don't bring me any more sausages. Okay, bring me the filet mignon.
And Isaiah's looking at me like with a grilled cheese sandwich. Why are you getting all that meat? I was like, take it, Isaiah, oh, please, take it, thank you, thank you, thank
you. We definitely got some food here. I'll tell you that much.
Welcome back to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me in the Extra Hour is Pat and John. You know, we're just speaking about how we've seen a lot of these things come to pass. A lot of these things come to pass in our lives as we just stepped out and began to follow Jesus. And I want to encourage you that the book of Acts is not a history book or a history lesson. It's an operations manual. Mm-hmm. This is the Acts of the Church. And you can believe God not only for that, but you can believe God for what happens in the Gospels, because Jesus said, not only will you do what I've been doing, but you'll do greater things than these, because I'm going to be with the Father, and whatever you ask for in my name, it'll be given to you. This is to my Father's glory that you do this, that you bear fruit, that you get on the front lines. And so I just want to encourage you that these are exciting days. God may be calling you to be a part of these. You know, I remember that Rick Joyner wrote a book called The Call, as he's writing out the prophecy, the vision that he had saw about the end time armies. There was three different armies. And of course, the first two armies were destructive. The first one was totally destructive. The second one would go in and do good things, but when they would leave, they would destroy all the things they did. Mm. You know, you've seen those folks that come in, they do this great thing. And by the time they finish, they start walking out. It's like, what you just said destroyed everything that was just done, you know? And those days, praise God, are coming to an end. You know, it's like, did you just really just say what you just did? And they disassociate the ministry from their own personal life is what it is. And so that's people using the gifts but not bearing the fruit, because their lack of fruit destroys what the gift brought to pass. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Then there's a last army, and the last army is the one that when they come into a place that is devastated, they bring life to it, but when they leave it better off than it was when they actually arrived at it. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh my goodness, I could just feel like that's about to take place and be loosed to the face of the earth. And everybody's moving in their ranks, and they're not jealous or envious or whatever that, you know, fighting and all that. Everybody's just whatever their position is and what God called them to do, they just are tightly fit together for the purposes of God. And I could just see these flanks, these spiritual platoons that are all around the world, you know, and as they just begin to flank in on what God is doing on the earth, and it's just powerful. And you need, if you're thinking, man, that's in me, but I didn't know that was possible, you need to find where God's calling you so you can enlist in God's army and be a soldier for him. And we're talking about spiritual army. We're not talking about physical army. To be able to fight the good fight of faith and stand shoulder to shoulder with men and women who understand that they are ambassadors of God, and that they are soldiers for Christ, and they're to march out into the dark places to be able to win those who are held captive by the adversary and snatch them from the fire, like a coal being snatched from the fire, and understanding that the kingdom expands. God's kingdom expands when Satan's kingdom shrinks. It doesn't. There's not people like in some middle kingdom out there. No, when we're born, we're conceived in sin and we are lost.
Right.
And when we make a decision to join the kingdom of God and make Jesus the Lord of our life, that's when we leave Satan's kingdom, the kingdom of darkness, and we enter into the kingdom of light. What does that mean? You're going to have to confront evil. You're going to have to go and speak to people who are held captive and let them know that God loves you and God's got a plan for your life. Share with them who you were and who you are, and it's this grace of God that has actually brought you to the place that you are, and they can be with God too, and that God loves them and God has a plan for their life. And when you're hearing about this blessing being loosed on the face of the earth. I mean, firsthand knowledge, and we're going to be having, you know, we may call it glory stories. I don't know, but we just want to be able to share with you the glory of God and what God is doing. Mm-hmm. We have some interviews that set up that, and we want to begin to capture them for you, because you need to hear that this same Jesus that walked the face of the earth, this same church, the loyal church to Jesus that you read about in the book of Acts, exists. And you can walk with God and these miracles, provision, jobs, homes, healings, whatever you need for a breakthrough. I mean, going into a people group where God's launching you. Listen, America needs missionaries. America needs people, men and women, who are willing to go into a place of a people group, even a very religious people group, and begin to carry the light of the gospel in that place and begin to share the hope of God and the hope of walking with God that comes through our Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm really believing and hoping for missionaries in every state, in every county, and in every city in America who have the torch of God's fire burning in their heart, the voice of God burning in their heart, to begin to share with that city and maybe share with the church of that city that's held captive. Wow. And cause them to desire to be with their Lord, with the bridegroom, and begin to just long after him. And it's exciting. It's so exciting. But we have something we have to do. When you heard in the first hour, when you heard the warnings about the spiritual avalanche, which is a mountain covered with the snow, which is false teachings, heretical teachings that are being taught today. I mean, I just want to tell you, I mean, I feel like in my heart that, you know, TBN right now weighs in the balance, the Eternity Broadcasting Network, because, you know, Paul Krause just turned everything over this year or last year to his son. Mm-hmm. I believe it's his youngest son. I can't tell you his name right now.
I think it's Matthew.
Matthew, and he's embracing this grace message instead of fruit message. And he's Prince. I don't want to name any names. I don't want to name any names. But I just feel like TBN is teetering on will they go this way, which is the thing that we heard about in the first hour, where Steve's talking about calling him an old fashioned Holy Ghost, and you know, you're old fashioned Holy Ghost, whatever, and we're like the new grace movement, as if it's acceptable, and it's like, really? And I see it, I'm like, oh my goodness, Matthew. I mean, come on, man, hang on, dude. Don't let it go. Don't let it go, because many people will join you and many people will give financially to you if you tell them they're okay in their sin. If you comfort them on their bedside before they bust hell wide open, they will just, oh my goodness, they'll just be your closest friend. Because if you make them comfortable in their sin and tell them they're okay, you know, understand this, that there's going to be many people. It's a wide road like that. Mm-hmm. But in that, understand is that you're going to be held accountable for that man or that woman's blood. If you told them that and you skipped over what Jesus said, when Jesus preached and his disciples were around him, they were listening to what he said.
Yeah.
And their response to what he said was, well, who can be saved, Jesus? I mean, who then can be saved? I mean, they're thinking like, I can't be saved. I mean, my goodness. I mean, I'm looking at my life and what you're saying, it just doesn't even line up. That's what they're saying. And Jesus said, what's impossible with man is possible with God. Listen, America, a lot of the American message today is being preached saying everybody can be. It don't matter who, you can do anything you want to do, say anything you want to. It's like, just come quick. You don't have to do nothing. Just say, just give me some numbers. Give me some likes. Give me some, you know, give me a crowd. It's like, yeah, you can be saved. Doesn't matter, you can be saved. And that's a totally different message. The American message right now, the false doctrine is, it's like, who can't be saved?
That's right.
But when Jesus preached, they told him, they said, the ones that are hearing his very word said, who can be saved? And then he drives them right back to, listen, you can only do this through me, bro. You have to humble yourself. There is no pride in this. Mm-hmm. You got to humble yourself, and you can only do it through a personal relationship with me. What's impossible with man is possible with God.
Yeah. That's so powerful, because it reminds me of the rich young man. It's exactly the rich young man found in Mark chapter 10, speaking of the Gospels. And it's powerful, because this young man, seemingly, you know, had a heart for God. He had a heart for the things of God.
Very religious, wasn't he?
Very, very religious, and it looked good. And in fact, it you know, starts out that this parable that says, as Jesus started on his way, a man ran to him and fell on his knees. I mean, all just, you know, dramatic, on his knees before him. He said, "Good teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" This sounds like a great question. You're sharing, you're spending all this time trying to win folks to the Lord and spend time with the Lord. And here's one that's asking, how can I follow you? How can I inherit eternal life?
Right.
And I love,
you know why he asked the question, right? Because he says, you're fixing to tell me what it is, and I'm going to tell you, I'm already doing that.
Right.
You know, he didn't ask it because he thought he wasn't doing it. He was just letting everybody know. He's like, okay, get ready, everybody. He's fixing to tell me I'm going to be the one. You know, if you just imitate me, right? I mean, you think about it.
Yeah.
Has a reaction. So he's asking the question he thought he knew the answer to.
First, Jesus says, why are you calling me good? What you know, hey, the only good is the Father. Is the Father up above? And he says, you know the commandments. You know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. Do not defraud. Do not defraud. Honor your father and mother. And of course, he sticks out his chest.
Right.
Yes, Jesus, I know. Yes, I've done all of these. Yes, I know.
Don't you see the check marks on the Sunday school board? I've done that.
Right.
See my stars. I got my little stars.
I was present. I got this down. I got this down. And Jesus looked at him, and I've read this parable before, but it just so jumped out. Jesus, the Word of God says, Jesus looked at him and loved him.
This is actually not a parable. This is actually actual happening.
Right.
It's not a parable. This actually happened.
Right.
Okay.
Right. And he looks at him and says, Jesus looked at him and loved him. And loved him and says, but you lack one thing. You lack one thing. Sell everything you have and give it to the poor, and you'll have treasures in heaven. Then come and follow me.
Isn't that wild? It's like, how did he know that one thing? How did he know that one thing that I hadn't given up for him? How did he put his finger on that one thing? Let me tell you something. He's not going to be satisfied until you give up every other god, every other idol. And that was his, wasn't it?
Yep, sure was.
And he loved him through all that. It's like, even while we were carrying that stuff around and being all prideful and stuff, he loves us. He loved us.
Yeah, it was clear that we can't have a divided heart from God. You can't flatter God. You can't have an idol and have the Lord too. And we got to be real. You know, see, you have to be real.
In his eyes, we are real, but we got to be real in our own eyes, right?
That's right. That's right. Because he sees right through it. He sees right through it. And that's the thing that stops. I mean, if you have a divided heart, Mark 12 says that we're supposed to love the Lord. Love the Lord with all of our heart, with all of our mind, with all of our strength, right? And you can't halfway God. You can't have idols and God too. We were talking about earlier about having a loyalty to the Lord. You have to be sold out to God. God's not going to share his glory with no man. Mm-hmm. And
you can't serve God and money, right?
And money or anything else for that matter. It's amazing how people say, well, I'm not religious. It's like, well, we're a very religious society because what you worship, what you spend your time, your money, your energy, what you go after, that's what you worship. That's your God. So people
what did this guy do? I mean, here he is. Yeah, obviously he went and sold everything, right?
He walked away sad.
This religious man who'd been doing all these things supposedly for God, when God just asked him one more thing.
One more thing.
Why didn't he?
He was thinking out his chest.
Why wouldn't he do the one more thing? You think about it. Because he's already doing everything else. Why wouldn't you think about it? He just asked you one more thing. You said you've been doing all this for God, right?
Yeah.
It makes you wonder if he was doing any of that for God, right?
That's right.
Yeah. Wow.
Well, his true God was surfaced. His true God came out. He was worshiping money. And so he wasn't willing to give up the one thing. And he chose. And many people are choosing. They're thinking we're talking about even earlier, this sloppy grace that you can just put on Christ to everything that you're doing. You can't put on Christ to the sin and everything else and say, I just put on my cross chain and I'll just put on Jesus too and everything will be fine. No, Jesus comes to take over. We give our lives over to him. Paul said, I become a bondservant with Christ. John the Baptist said, I must decrease so that he must increase. And it's about Jesus and him alone. That's what it means to make Jesus Savior and Lord. Not just get me out of hell, but you are the Lord, the boss, the king of my heart. And this young rich man, he was actually worshiping something else.
Yes.
And that ain't going to happen. Not with God.
Because you think about it, if I was doing all this for God in the first place,
with your motives.
Yeah, what is one more thing? And it's so cool what you said, as you brought out, and we got to go to break here, is that when even he walked away, Jesus loved him. And it's like, oh my goodness, Lord, forgive us for not being willing to give up everything for your love. We'll be right back at this break.
Wow. At VFN Radio, we are looking for greater ways for you to be able to connect anywhere you go. We know that you can listen to VFN Radio on the go through the app, but now we also have the podcast. It's a great way for you to be able to automatically get all the segments totally downloaded to your digital device no matter where you're at. You can go to VFNTV.com and click podcast, and you'll configure it and set it up so that no matter where you're at, you automatically have all of the highlights automatically downloaded on your digital device. VFNTV.com. Click podcast. Pat, you know the great thing about all of our VFN Radio listeners is that so many of them are connecting to us on Facebook. You know, we have a Facebook page. You may be listening today. You may not be aware, but we do. And you can go to facebook.com/VFNTV, or you can go to our VFNTV.com and click Facebook. Be a part. Right now, we're about over 5,000 and growing fans. Like us. Tell your friends to like us. We're creating a virtual stadium where everyone can connect and be a part and get fresh updates on everything that happens that day on the program. Don't forget, go to VFNTV.com and click Facebook.
You know, I want to encourage you, as you're listening to VFN Radio every day, we're 24-7. We're 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We're live 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Central, but we're 24-7, any time zone, all the way from Okinawa, Japan, to San Diego, California. You know what I'm saying? You can come on to VFNTV.com or download our app and listen live. But we also have highlights. We actually have an entire two-hour broadcast broken up into certain segments that you can, something, you know, it just may be on your heart or on your, you wanted to hear that one thing. It's all you have time for. It's all you wanted to hear. And that's why we do that. And you can go right to that on the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com and click on the Torch. Or you can go to your app and just kind of thumb through the names of the highlights and listen to that one segment. But that's all for you. We want to deliver everything that we're called to deliver to you in any way that we can that helps you meet your need at that time. Sometimes you just don't have time to get it this way. You have to get it that way. And sometimes you don't have time to get it that way. You get it this way. So don't forget, you can go to VFNTV.com. You can go to VFNTV.com and it's there for you. It is amazing how this is all working. It's people just like you, friends like you, that stand with us and understand, you know, we've got to make a difference in our generation, that stand with us prayerfully and financially, that just partner on a monthly basis to financially build a foundation that where we can carry this message not only to the nation of America, but to the nations of the world. It's amazing how so many people are being encouraged by a simple gift of a few dollars a month, $25 a month, $50 a month, whatever it is. And you know what? Together, if you're having difficulty in how to present the gospel to this generation, partner with us, and we together at VFNTV and the Daily Radio Program will bring the gospel to this nation and this nation by God's grace to the Lord. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. VFNTV.com and click on giving. Welcome back to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me in the last quarter round of the Extra Hour is Pat Hamilton and John Ramos. We're going to be talking about the Pope, you know, Pope Benedict, the present Pope, suddenly resigned and said that, you know, most popes just, you know, die when they're in office, but suddenly resigned and said, I'm going to be out of here on February 28th. And it's been 600 years since that has happened, and it was scandal 600 years ago when it actually took place. But in this, what we're finding out is that the week that, and maybe this can be, make this available. Listen, you got to go to the Torch to hear more of what's going on here, because you'll be able to see videos and things that we're talking about and more extended audios and information. But that, you know, when Pope Benedict told everybody suddenly that he was going to resign, that lightning struck St. Peter's Basilica. It struck it, right?
Yep.
Lightning came right in the center of it. Struck it.
It's a picture of it. We have a picture.
Yeah, a picture of it. Make that available on the VFN Torch. And I'm not saying, this is what I'm saying. I'm just saying, lightning struck it. What meanest thou this? The secondly, is that, why is this sudden stepping down? And then, in just a moment, we're going to play to you a prophecy by a former pope. And it'll explain everything to you of Malachi, a prophecy of Malachi. It was a pope of some time back who literally, well, honestly, explained it all to you. But understand this, that and you look at the convergence of things that are taking place, all the contractions that are happening, what's happening in Israel. We didn't get a chance to talk too much about the day, but I'll talk to you more about it. What's taking place with what's about to happen in the face of the earth. When the four blood moons are about to happen in about 14 months from today or yeah, 15 months from today, different things are about to happen. And suddenly, without warning, the, I believe the 111th Pope steps down. And in this prophecy that was given, that the, whoever the next one replaces this one would actually be over the Catholic Church when Rome is destroyed. And we know this. We know that Rome is destroyed when we read the Mystery Babylon, the city with seven hills is destroyed. You know, we know this in the Bible, but it just makes you really begin to think in the context of all these things taking place. So I want you to hear it now. Listen up.
There is another seer whose chilling predictions continue to echo down the centuries. He is Saint Malachi, canonized in 1190. Malachi was a reforming Catholic prelate born in Armagh in 1094. On a visit to Rome, he was struck by a vision. Before him appeared a series of Latin phrases identifying the 111 popes who would rule the Catholic Church until the end of time.
He uttered 111 Latin mottos, which are supposed to represent the nature, the name, or destiny, or the coat of arms of every pope until Judgment Day.
Many of the phrases are considered too precise to be the results of chance. John the 23rd, the 107th pope in the prophecy, is referred to as Pastor et Nortam, priest and sailor. Before becoming pope in 1958, he was the Patriarch of Venice. Paul the 6th is Flos Floram, flower among flowers. His coat of arms is a lily among lilies.
John Paul II, who is called De Laboris Solis in the prophecies, which means the sun's eclipse, the sun's labor. He is the only pontiff on the list that was born on an eclipse and later entombed during an eclipse.
And the 111th, the final pope in the prophecy?
De Gloria Olivae, from the glory of the olive. That's the current Benedict the 16th.
At the end of the list, Malachi is said to have uttered a final doom-laden phrase, this one unnumbered.
During the final persecution, the seat of the Holy Roman Church will be occupied by Peter the Roman, who will feed the sheep in many tribulations, after which the seven-hilled city will be destroyed, and the terrible judge will judge his people. The end.
Is Malachi describing the end of the Catholic Church or the end of the world? Is Peter the Roman the last pope who will follow the current pontiff, Benedict XVI? Some experts consider that since the motto is unnumbered, they are actually one and the same.
St. Malachi claims that he had a spiritual experience one day, and while in a trance, God showed him all of the popes that would exist from his time until the last pope. Malachi was given a prophecy of 112 popes. And in these 112 popes, there were given signs, little clues as to the identity of each one, all 112. Well, the writings of Malachi were stored away in a vault by one of the popes for about 300 years. They didn't have printing presses in those days. So the possibility of circulating the writings of St. Malachi were very small. But when Gutenberg invented the printing press, all of a sudden someone printed the prophecies of St. Malachi. And as the prophecies of St. Malachi began to be known, people became very interested, and they started counting the popes. Well, several hundred years had passed by that time. However, 112 total popes from St. Malachi to the last pope. Well, what's in fact happening right now? Pope John Paul II, who just died in 2005, was the 110th pope. No wonder interest in the prophecies of St. Malachi are reviving right now. When the cardinals came to Rome to elect the 111th pope, an article appeared out of India the day before the election. A man said to the cardinals, "You must elect a giant spiritual leader. You must elect a pope that can appeal to young people. You must elect someone that can hold the church together." But he said, "There's one more thing you must pay attention to when you elect the new pope tomorrow in the Sistine Chapel. Make sure you don't elect a pope that has anything to do with the olive, because the clue for the 111th pope was the glory of the olive," whatever that means. Well, the conclave was held, the white smoke came out of the Sistine Chapel chimney, and the word went out, "We have a pope." When the identity of the pope was disclosed, it was Cardinal Ratzinger of Germany, and everybody thought, glory of the olive. It has nothing to do with it. I mean, you've never heard of a Ratzinger olive, I'm sure. And so everybody thought, surely not, this doesn't have anything to do with anything, even though he's the 111th pope. Everybody was interested, though, in finding out what his name would be that he would rule under. You know, when popes are elected, they don't rule under their own name. They take a name like Pope John 23rd or Pope Pius the 12th, the last one, Pope John Paul II. So everybody wondered, how will Cardinal Ratzinger rule the church? What name? Because when a man picks a name, it usually is indicative of something that means something special to him. Well, the announcement was made the next day that the pope would rule under the name of Benedict XVI. And everybody wondered, what's that got to do with anything? Saint Benedict was the patron saint of Europe. He was a very powerful man, and he gave birth to a powerful order called the Benedictine Order. Well, the Benedictine Order has been powerful in the Roman Catholic Church for a long time, and it has a symbol you may be interested to know. And by now you've guessed it. The symbol of the Benedictine Order is the olive. So he chose the glory of the olive. He, now that he's the Pope representing the Benedictine Order. So the question has to be asked, are we right now watching the 111th Pope? Now the prophecy says that in the days of the 112th Pope, Rome will be destroyed. Well, the prophecies of the Bible, I don't know what to say about the prophecies of St. Malachi. I don't know whether I believe in them or don't. I'm simply telling you that if this is coincidence, it's very coincidental. But I do know this. The Bible says that right at the time of the Battle of Armageddon, the city of Rome is going to be destroyed. And that's what it says happens at the 112th Pope. Now, it's really interesting that this pope just elected was elected at the age of 75. The cardinals chose an older pope on purpose because Pope John Paul II had ruled the church for so long that he had totally changed the texture of the church. They felt like they did not want a pope that would rule for a long time. So they picked a man 75 years of age. Today he's 76 years of age. So how long will he rule? If in fact he is the next to the last pope, and all the other signposts that we're talking about today are coming to pass right now, then perhaps St. Malachi was on to something. Perhaps the next pope will be the last pope. Now remember, in the St. Malachi prophecy, it says the last pope will be Peter the Roman. Now whatever that means, apparently he's going to be a person from Italy. We've had two popes in a row not from Italy, the first two popes not from Italy in 455 years. All of a sudden, it looks like if St. Malachi's prophecy is correct, and I can't tell you whether it is or not. It's not biblical. It's just something that happened. But if, in fact, it is correct, after this pope dies, the next pope elected will preside over the destruction of the city of Rome. Several times in the book of Revelation, Rome is referred to as Mystery Babylon. Revelation 17, Mystery Babylon is called the City of Seven Hills. Rome is the city of seven hills. And the destruction of the city of Rome is mentioned several times in the book of Revelation. And that's what St. Malachi said. So here we are. You got St. Malachi's word, which you have to take with a grain of salt. But you got the Bible that you can take to the bank. And it's telling us, you and me, that we're getting closer and closer to the second coming.
That is so amazing. When you start seeing these things unfold, it's just like, right. It's not, if that was just that alone, but in the context of everything that we're seeing, Israel's being surrounded and she's like a trembling cup. Nuclear threat is being focused in on Jesus, on Israel from Iran. And just this week, North Korea just exploded a nuclear bomb underground and shook, and has been measured by South Korea. Russia is about the typical bear business that's taking place right there. And this, and we're seeing all this take place. And the thing about it is, you know, the olive, according to this prophecy, whether it's true or not, that's pretty interesting. And understand this, that even Islam was prophesied. So just because something is prophesied doesn't mean, well, that's of God or not of God. Mm-hmm. Just understand that God lets us know things that are happening and it's going to happen. And in the context of that, that suddenly this week, suddenly to everybody's surprise, I mean, everybody even right around the Pope, that they were surprised to find out that not only he's going to step down, he's leaving, the olive is leaving, and he's going to be gone on the 28th of February. And that means this 112th pope, whoever that's going to be, is going to be ruler according to this particular prophecy, whether it's true or not. But the timings of it, it just seems like right in alignment.
Think of that, 16 days, 17 days yesterday from the time of the announcement.
Yes. Yes.
They're going to need to be looking for a new pope.
Right.
17 days.
And the 112th will be the one that will be over that when Rome is destroyed, the city on seven hills. You know, and that's what you're talking about, Revelation. We're talking about Revelation here. We're not talking about Malachi when we talk about that as prophecy. And Malachi, but that here we are, all this is taking place. The avalanche, the storms, the economy is crashing. The best of times for the church, the great thing is like, you know, shake yourself, get the world off of you, straighten yourself up, repent from your sin, leave all your sin. We need to leave all our sin and give ourselves over to God, and break yourself off the spirit of entertainment, and don't think that you're doing something with that. Break loose from that, where you are loyal and your time is loyal to the voice of God. Understand that time is limited. We have so much to share with you, and but we only have a limited time to be able to do it, and we're going to continue. That's why we're here. That's why VFN Radio is here. That's why VFN TV is here. If you have not yet seen on VFNTV.com, go to VFNTV.com and watch on VFN TV, Is America Under God's Judgment? When you get to VFNTV.com, you'll see in the menu right up top, it says VFN TV. Click on that, and it'll take you to prophetic teachings that begin to share with you so you can understand through the Word of God where we are right now in the time, in the timings, in the seasons. I think about Issachar. Issachar understood the times and the seasons and what to do in those seasons. And I truly believe God has touched many people on the face of the earth today, and VFN Radio is one of them, to help you understand the times, the seasons, and what to do with the seasons we're in. These are some of the most exciting days that are about to take place on the face of the earth. You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget, you can catch us at VFNTV.com. On your mobile applications, you can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.